Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege is just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore calls us solidarity in sin. And we all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Can't make a law where there is no law, comma. But this is Wretched Radio, unless there's a Bible verse that explicitly says thou shalt or thou shalt not. Always need to be very cautious in making a legal proclamation. Now, can we ever do that? Absolutely, because you can take a look at the totality of Scripture, the revelation about God and his character and nature. And even if it doesn't say, for instance, explicitly, don't let your kids look at Playboy magazine, we can use other verses that talk about the subject of lust and adultery and even idolatry, because that's what adultery is too, by the way. And we can then state definitively, kids should not be looking. No, nobody should be looking at Playboy. We've got to stop making that distinction between adults and kids. If it's bad for us, it's bad for us, no matter what age. Sure, you might be able to handle it better once you turn 18 or 28, but that doesn't mean it's right and good. Want to be careful that I don't step across a line of saying, if you're a parent, you got to stop letting your kids have cell phones, because I don't have that Bible verse. In fact, I don't have anything resembling that, because I did some very serious, I used AI. And it turns out they didn't have cell phones in the first century. So we need to proceed with caution. But I do think that there is a word that will help you navigate what you should do with technology and your child. And that word is, not going to shock you, wisdom. We just need some wisdom. And then I think we can make some pretty strong statements without crossing the line into making a law where there is no law, because now the data is in, which could provide us the wisdom that we need to make some decisions about our kids. If you are millennial or above, you were partially exposed to technology. Partially. Not every kid. My kids fall into that camp because, whew, thankfully, when the flip phone or the cell phone and the smartphone were starting to become all the rage, my kids were teenagers and we were able to escape it for the most part, courtesy of a flip phone so that they could call and text and we could communicate when they were out of the house. But they did not have a smartphone. I don't even remember when they got one, but I know it wasn't before they were 18. That's for certain. And we could get away with that. Barely. Gen Z, not so. Totally immersed from birth. It's expected. It is a given that your kid will have a tablet, a cell phone. That is just the social norm. Now, you might be the exception, but that is the norm. And now that we have a generation that was fully immersed in technology from birth, do we not have enough information to tell us if that's a good idea or not? And I think with some new studies coming out, I got to tell you, Mom and Dad, I get it. It's hard because everybody else has one. And you also perhaps think, if I don't give my kid a cell phone, well, then they're going to resent me. Yeah, I get that. But what if the dangers are so great and the effects of social media so profoundly detrimental that then maybe the scale will tip to the other side? So I'm not trying to tip the scale for you. Don't want to make a law where there is no law. I get it. It is hard. But here is the information. This was a massive study that tracked 100,000 18 to 24-year-olds. Okay, that's big. Here's the conclusion. If they got a smartphone before the age of 13, higher rates of suicidal thoughts, aggression, and emotional struggles. Girls, especially, 48% of the girls who got cell phones at age 5 through 6 report suicidal thoughts. That's half of them. Half of them. Now, it's interesting. The earlier you give a kid a cell phone, the worse these statistics are. So for instance, if a girl is 13, 28%. So it's down 20 points about suicidal ideations. But even that number should horrify us. This was from the Journal of Human Development and Capabilities that did this exhaustive study. Those who got phones before 13, higher rates of aggression, feelings of detachment from reality. I was so heartened to read that. You say, why would you be excited to read that? Because it's so negative. It's because it's something that I've observed. And it simply affirms a point that I want to make. When I have the opportunity to speak to students at Oklahoma U this fall, talking about deconstructionism, one of the points that I want to make, in fact, I just wrote it down in my notes this morning, you're detached from reality. Your reality isn't real. Social media is not actual. It is anything but what is. And so the kids are suffering from it. I think was speaking with Greg Giffert, one of our fellows here. And if you don't listen to Transform the Podcast, boo-hoo for you, you're missing out. But Libby's podcast is sort of like Transform for Chicks. Yeah. Yeah, I did just say that. But it's intelligent talk. It's smart and it's biblical and it's so helpful. Greg and I were talking about what will we have to say to the students when we're in Georgia at two universities this fall? What are we going to present to them? And we talked about the issue of reality and how the kids have been immersed in a world that is tailor-made by themselves, that they custom make. What is the effect? What is the impact of that? Well, when you are constantly, perpetually looking inward for personal satisfaction, well, you're gonna be a mess. Why? Because we're not made to be making all decisions internally. We need to be looking for truth externally. Furthermore, when it comes to externals, we're supposed to be giving to others more than doing for ourselves. More considerate, esteeming others as better than ourselves. What does the world scream to the kids via technology? You esteem yourself. And that is why the kids are so miserable, because they're simply doing reality wrong. And this the cell phone contributes to it. I have not heard anybody else talk about this, so take this for what it's worth. It's the curating. On the cell phone. It's the ability to design everything that goes into my eyes and ears is what pleases me. Everything. And if I don't like it, I swipe it away. Along comes a human being and says, I think you got that wrong. How dare you? And you swipe them away and they're unhappy and everybody's toxic. And we need boundaries every place. That is because of social media. Back to the study, early smartphone users struggle more with self-image, hallucinations, self-worth. Now, that's kind of a secular term, but just the same. I reject that term, but we also need to remember we are not slithering animals. We aren't pachyderms. We aren't beasts of burden. We aren't pets. We're image bearers. And that does something to, I'll use the word, psyche. Cell phone undermines that. Why? Because they're always comparing themselves to everybody else. Emotional control down. Resilience, particularly females. So they get knocked down. They don't get back up. Males show greater difficulties with stability, calmness, and empathy. 100,000 kids between 18 and 24 were surveyed for this. Guess which nations lead the way when it comes to kids that are kind of miserable? English-speaking countries. Why? Because we give them the phones earlier and we allow complete access compared to Africa, South Asia, the Middle East, and we're feeling it. The question, of course, is what do we do about it? Now, here's what the experts are saying. I'm just telling you, they're saying that we need to treat cell phones like alcohol and tobacco. And some governments are doing that. There are nations that are saying, hey, no. For instance, Australia and Sweden raised the minimum age of social media use to 16. Sweden reduced the presence of tablets and computers in schools. In Virginia, the governor, to his credit, introduced a measure to prohibit phone use by students during the school day, and it is going well. Guess what? Fewer discipline issues, happier, more connected students, because they aren't constantly distracted with that thing. Mom and dad, what do you do with this? Well, can't tell you what to do, but I can share with you the facts, ma'am. And perhaps what's maybe a rather obvious illustration nevertheless has some punch. You wouldn't give your kid a Playboy and say, just read the articles, honey. You wouldn't give your kid a lighter and a joint and say, only use the lighter and the paper to start the fire if you ever find yourself lost in the woods. You wouldn't do that. And yet, we're giving our kids the world, and the world, which last time I checked is one of our enemies, is winning. This is Wretched Radio.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. 6 brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org.
Know your church fathers. Athenagoras was a Christian philosopher in Athens who used his training to defend the Christian faith against Roman persecution. He wrote On the Resurrection of the Dead, arguing that the nature of God, the nature of humanity, and the concept of justice only makes sense if there is a physical resurrection.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Talk about providence. This is Wretched Radio. Everything is providence. I wouldn't call somebody a heretic because they use one of these phrases, but they aren't exactly as explicit as they should be. That was a God thing. God really showed up today. It's always a God thing, and he's always showing up because he's always there. Nevertheless, let's call it providence. Greg Giffert of Transformed fame, he started a brand new series on Transformed, which you can find wherever you do your podcasting business. It is an awesome pod. All of our podcasts, I'm sorry, I think they're awesome. I think they're great. I think they're so helpful. They're so practical. They're so biblical. You can find them at Fortis Plus. You can find them wherever you do your podcasting biz. Libby is doing a great job with the Better Way podcast. Thrive, Integrated, Way of Manhood, and Greg's Transformed, starting a new series. Jimmy?
Yes?
What's the new series about?
Ozempic.
Just Ozempic.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that funny? Because providentially, I hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers an article from Spectator that talks about Ozempic and Wegovy being prescribed to children and adolescents. And I'm talking about a lot of it. Back in 2023, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommended that we use GLP-1. It's a weight loss drug for kids and adolescents. Surprise, a 65% surge in prescriptions. Before the guidelines were altered by the American Academy of Pediatrics, 2.5% of young patients used Ozempic or Wegovy is the other one. And Jimmy, weren't those drugs intended really for diabetes to take care of your
A1C?
A1C. Exactly.
Yeah, that's what they were originally invented for.
But it's discovered, hey, the pounds just kind of fall off. So let's use what they thought was a diabetes drug for weight loss. And Jimmy, could I confide in you and you alone?
Okay, yeah. I won't tell anybody.
I kind of wish that my A1C level would be at the point where I could get the Ozempic or Wegovy. I know I'd be happier because all of the people in the commercials are dancing, singing in the grocery store. Their lives are amazing on the Ozempic and the Wegovy. The problem is the kids are now being prescribed these things, an increase, like a tenfold increase in prescriptions. And we haven't taken the time to consider what is this doing to their brains. Now, I don't know if you've observed this. This is pretty scientific, but a child's brain isn't as mature as when they're an adult. Now, I've studied that for a bit, and I'm pretty confident in making that assessment that the child brain, it ain't fully connected yet. And we all know that to be true. In fact, scientists would say that the human brain isn't fully formed until you're like 25 years old. And so there's a lot of wiring that is going on, a lot of brain development that is taking place. And Ozempic and Wegovy appear to be messing it up. These drugs, this is from the Spectator article, these drugs activate GLP-1 receptors clustered deep in the brain's control centers. It's the hypothalamus and the hippocampus that govern appetite, memory, and emotion. What happens is these medications, the GLP-1, it tells your body what to do with food consumption. It dictates whether you're hungry or not. Well, that's interesting because it's doing two things. First of all, it's telling your brain, shut down, somebody else is taking care of business. Uh-oh. So when the kids get off of this, they're discovering that they're getting this nasty. It's called gastroparesis. The stomach effectively shuts down. And apparently this is a trend that is growing. The defective digestive system lives with constant nausea, unable to eat without discomfort. Wow. That's not kind. That's cruelty to children. Can you imagine your brain not knowing what to do with food and the consumption of it makes you miserable or nauseous all the time? What are we doing to our children? What is this doing to adults? Not only is it teaching the brain how to function or not function, we don't know any of the other effects on the brain because these pills are affecting the brain. They do something to the kids. GLP-1 drugs significantly alter dopamine signaling. That's the reward or drive or desire section of your brain, presumably. That's for love, ambition, joy. Well, guess what? If those regions of the brain are being affected, now we all know mind-brain distinction. That's Greg Giffert's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. You really should get that book and read it, especially if you have a kid that has been given a label like ADHD. Early dopamine interference has been linked to long-term increases in depression, anxiety, and addictive tendencies. Are we as a society ever going to actually talk about this publicly? I know I'm happy to talk about guns. Happy to talk about it. But are we also going to talk about all of these medications that are having negative effects on our children, including suicidal and murderous ideations? Furthermore, expanding it beyond the kids that appear to be on these medications or were recently on these medications performing atrocious acts, how's about all of the kids that are just feeling miserable? They're depressed and sad and lonely because they've been numbed, which, by the way, that's another Greg Giffert resource. It's going to be coming out in the fall. It's going to be, wow. It's called Life Without the Numb, because that's how they feel on these medications. It's synthetic. It deals with the brain. It's messing with kind of the control center. Now, we know the mind is who you are, but that doesn't mean that the mind isn't affected by the brain and vice versa. The brain is not insignificant, even though we recognize the brain is not who you are. Your mind, your heart, that is who you are. And we're affecting the kids' brains. Here's what the article said. We've created a society that would rather drug children into thinness than confront the deeper issues. Ultra-processed diets pumped up by billion-dollar food conglomerates. Homes hollowed out by absent parents and broken routines. Bodies kept idle by screens. And a society that sneers at self-discipline while worshiping instant results. This is another one of the things that I think Greg and I are going to talk about. I think specifically Greg is going to talk about when we go to campuses this fall to check out our new initiative to see if we're going to do it big time in 2026, and that is invade the campuses. And one of the issues that everybody is dealing with on the campuses is mental health. The problem with mental health is it tries to use medication all too often to try to alter the brain or to give you some sort of technique that will help you cope with it. That's mental health versus transformation. Altering how you think, altering how you process, altering what your values are, altering what your morality is, altering the position of feelings in your life. That's the distinction between, say, Christianity/biblical counseling and what the kids are doing to feel better these days. They're using mental health. One more quote. We've traded mentorship for medication, parenting for prescriptions, human resilience for chemical compliance. We are a society. We want it, and we want it quickly, and we're not doing the kids any favors. And this is happening. Schools that they think that they're trying to help the kids because it seems nicer. They're not. I was reading an article on something called restorative justice. Are you familiar with this? The idea of restorative justice, this was Bill de Blasio's idea. Restorative justice calls for schools to provide students and staff the opportunity to talk through conflicts and never punish kids with meaningful measures like suspensions. $100 million has been spent on this practice. Incidents requiring the New York Police Department School Safety Division more than doubled. Why? Because never holding a kid accountable isn't good for a kid. Is it hard? Yeah. Do I get it? There are social factors, of course, but justice is justice. And it's not nice to not discipline a kid. I think I've shared this perhaps a number of times. When I visited St. Jude Hospital in Memphis, one of the questions that I asked the docs was, what's one of the big struggles for the kids? What do they find hard? And I was expecting something like they can't play, they can't be with their friends. They immediately said their parents don't say no. That's fascinating. Why? Because saying no, if it's not done cruelly, is an expression of love. So is discipline. We're living in a world where adults are, frankly, abusing children. I think there's a number of reasons for it, but a pill, something quick, an injection to lose, that's a whole lot easier than having to be a parent. Talk about a nation with confused priorities. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institutes. Religious freedom took another hit in Montreal this week as the city slapped a $2,500 fine on a church for the crime of hosting a Christian singer. The city claims it was about permit violations, but the mayor's office dropped the mask, stating the show runs counter to the values of inclusion, solidarity, and respect that are championed in Montreal. Translation, Christian values aren't welcome here. The assault on faith gets even darker in Pakistan, where a 14-year-old was forcibly converted to Islam by a Muslim employer after his father's death left the family desperate for income. An attorney reports the boy was taken to an Islamic seminary. Suddenly, his name changed to Muhammad Umar, supposedly a 15-year-old adult who converted willingly after getting inspired by Islamic teachings. This is what real religious persecution looks like, but it barely registers on the Western radar. Please make sure that you're continuing to pray for all of our persecuted brothers and sisters all over the world. There's better news, however, from West Virginia, where a group of parents won a temporary injunction against forced vaccination of their children to attend school. A circuit court judge ruled that the state's mandatory vaccine law is invalid without religious exemption, pointing to the 2023 Equal Protection for Religion Act. Speaking of judicial overreach, an Obama-appointed judge in Boston has once again blocked congressional efforts to defund Planned Parenthood, this time overruling Trump's Big Beautiful Bill passed by both houses of Congress. Is that even legal? I don't know. Maybe it is. We go to Washington State now, where officials announced they'll no longer release public reports on assisted suicide deaths due to funding cuts. Yeah, that's a convenient way to say we don't want you to know what's really going on. And it's also hiding the uncomfortable reality that many patients outlive their doctor's six-month prognosis. Now, there's a little hope from Global Christian Relief, which has pledged to free at least 100 Pakistani Christian families from debt this year. These families, trapped by loans as small as $800, work for as little as $1.50 per day due to interest payments, sometimes for decades, despite Pakistan's 1992 ban on bonded labor. Finally, in Cincinnati, the city council president showed her true colors after white victims were beaten unconscious at a jazz festival by declaring they, quote, begged for that beatdown without knowing any details of actually what had occurred. Imagine the nationwide riots if white politicians made the same statements. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Exodus is a story of God saving his people from oppression and giving them an identity and an inheritance. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, which begin with the statement, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Good deeds have always been a response to God's saving work, not a means of earning salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Jimmy.
Yes?
Would you kindly ask me what is the most important thing about doing quality radio?
Todd, what is the most important thing about doing quality radio?
Timing.
Todd, what is this, the most...
okay, go ahead. Let's finish the shtick. Go ahead. Here's the whole bit.
Todd, what is the most...
Timing. But the first one was more appropriate because after talking about the kids and their cell phones and their brains getting rewired from that and the Wegovy business and the Ozempic business, which also impacts their brain, you said something that I thought was helpful. A little too late. What was your observation?
They're connected.
In what way?
Well, obviously, we know from all of the studies and all of the information that we've gathered over the years that the cell phones are affecting, especially how teenage girls look at their body image.
Yep.
They're compared.
It's boys too.
Yeah.
Predominantly girls, but also boys.
Yeah. Yeah. But they compare themselves to the Instagram and the you know, the models and the filters and all that stuff.
Yep.
Well, I think that's exactly why they're taking this Ozempic stuff.
So they can lose weight to look just like those fabulous people on the social media machine. Yeah. I think that's it. A lot of this stuff is interconnected. We're raising our kids differently. We are living so differently than we ever did. And we never even consider pumping the brakes and saying, is this really a good idea? Is this really going to help human flourishing? The only person that I've heard talking like that, and I don't know everything he's saying these days, so this is not an endorsement. This is just an observation that Tucker Carlson is pretty relentlessly saying, hello, is anybody thinking about, you know, people? Even I think I just saw him have a pretty vocal diatribe against the current economy. Hey, people, young people, they can't buy houses. I think like the first time you can buy a house now in America is at the age of 38. I think I've got that right. Marriage, it's being pushed up. Kids aren't having kids because they're afraid and the global warming is going to burn us all up. What are we doing to human beings here? We need to be thinking about it when it comes to economy, when it comes to technology, when it comes to advancements, when it comes to industry. What about people? We need to come first. It doesn't mean that we become Luddites and we reject every sort of technological advancement, but it does mean we got our priorities straight. And that is, the priority should be people made in God's image. That was kind of catchy, if you don't mind me saying so. Speaking of people, there are over 600, almost 700 people that are going to be distributing the Play the Man cards. I don't know what got into you, but wow, a lot of people are signing up fast. This is the last day. We're probably going to end it where you can order them on like August 1st or 2nd. So make it snappy. If you would like for us to send to you absolutely free the Play the Man cards, these are the cards that have the QR code that will take a student, a young man, to a link, a website page that has a booklet called Play the Man. It's PDF, it's an ebook, it's a video, it's audio. And Jimmy, somebody sent an email and said, what about Spanish? Why don't you have it in Spanish? And I went, I think we can, because these days you throw it into the AI machine. It still needs to be proofed by a human being, but nevertheless, you throw it into the AI machine and bada bing, bada boom, it's in Spanish. So we could do it in Hindi. We could do it in any language. So we'll start adding those things so that when they hit the QR code, they can find help to be delivered from pornography. And of course, that help is, it's not a theology. It's not a system. It's a person. Jesus will help them break the chains that keep them in bondage, feeling shameful and creepy and isolated. The booklet is called Play the Man. If you would like to pass out those cards to university campuses, they come in packets of 250. It's absolutely free, including the shipping. And Jimmy, I think tomorrow is the big sale starts, right?
Uh-huh. Yep, the store is closing.
Yeah, don't buy anything today. Wait until tomorrow. I was just over in the warehouse. If you've ever wanted to buy our stuff, but didn't want to spend the money, This is the shot because we're cleaning out the warehouse because we're not going to sell stuff anymore. Everything is going to be electronic and free online. So excited about that. For instance, Transform Season 4. It is going to be, we release an episode each week. I think the current episode is a very nice couple. They're floundering because the kids are grown up. And they are like, who are you? Why am I still with you? What are we supposed to do here? Sound familiar? It is a common malady. And Dr. Lou Priolo guides them through that to help them navigate so that a woman's child-centered marriage can be a Jesus-centered marriage. And then the two spouses will be happy. You can see that for free at fortisplus.org. And you'll be able to see everything for Jimmy. We're going through boxes in the warehouse.
I know.
We made a lot of stuff around here. I didn't realize. We had on there atheism. It's called atheism. It was the debate with Dan Barker at the University of Minnesota probably 20 years ago. So if you'd like to see what my son looks like, you can see that debate. And I think we might be giving it away or selling it for like 99 cents. All of our stuff. And oh, by the way, if you have been wanting to get some of the books that we encourage and we endorse at our website, fortisinstitute.org, biblical counseling books, just great, great resource stuff. You will never find it cheaper anywhere. Not kidding. So don't buy anything today. Wait for tomorrow. And then you could even order your cards for free and get to a university campus and pass them out because the boys are buried in pornography and they want help. Was just reading an article. I don't know who the fellow was. He's a campus evangelist. And he's talking about how the reception of Christianity is different than it was, which is right in keeping with what I've experienced. Going to campuses, it used to be pretty typically, there was always an edge to it. Now, okay, a kid might go away, don't want to talk to you. That's so rare. Most of the kids, when you talk to them, it's not this confrontational, antagonistic, put your fists up and, hey, what about this? And there's the Crusades and... They want to know. They've got more of an attitude of, I've heard about this Christianity thing. Apparently, it's done a lot for Western civilization. What do you know? Did I mention that it was Carl Truman? I don't think I shared this formally on Wretched Radio, but I think I might have alluded to it. He was writing about the current desire for what he calls the sacred, that young people in particular, They don't want cool and hip anymore. They want something that feels different, which is why so many of them are being attracted to Eastern Orthodoxy, Roman Catholicism, anything that feels liturgical or ancient, they're digging it because they think that just the accoutrements, just some of the rituals make it sacred. Well, it doesn't. What makes something sacred is if, first of all, God identifies it as sacred. Second of all, we are doing a sacred thing from the heart, not just trappings and incense, bells ringing and priests parading. That isn't sacred. What's sacred is the worship of God rightly. And churches that are doing that, they are growing. The churches that aren't doing that, they're just shriveling, which actually brings me back. Thank you for the segue, Todd. Brings me back to chapter 14 of Play the Man. It's called Behold the Man. This is an encouragement for the man and the woman who's stuck in pornography to behold Jesus. Because what you will see in Jesus is the opposite of what happens to you when you look at pornography. Do you recall? Shared a list of all of the effects that pornography has on a man. Took that same list, it's about 10, 12, 15 descriptors, and then asked the question in chapter 14, is that what Jesus is like? What does our master look like? Is he one who is weak and wimpy? No, he's strong and mighty. Was Jesus creepy? No, he was so not creepy, little kids clamored to get on his lap. He was not a shriveled man. He grew in stature. one with whom the Father was well pleased. He wasn't isolated like so many guys who look at porn are. Wonder why they're lonely. They don't want to slink out of the house. Jesus wasn't that way. He was surrounded with people. Jesus wasn't out of control. He wasn't emotionally exhausted. His thinking was wired rightly. He wasn't a monster or a perv. He was the opposite of those things. He didn't grieve people, disappoint them. He didn't descend in stature. He didn't abuse people. He wasn't selfish. He was anything but a failure. And that is the key to overcoming sin. Stare at the man. And increasingly, when you see him in all his, I'm going to use the word beauty, you'll become like him. This is Wretched Radio.
Do you want to do more evangelism, but you don't know quite where to start? Well, you could wait for the perfect moment. You could go to another seminar, or here's a crazy thought, you could actually go do it. Now through September, college campuses across America are going to be the front lines of gospel outreach, and you can be a part of it. You're in Play the Man. It's Todd Friel's short biblical resource that helps young men fight pornography God's way. The host of Wretched Radio and TV has created something extremely special. This is a gospel-centered book that's not dancing around the issues. And this isn't the latest tips and tricks from self-help gurus either. This is soul-saving truth that's been working for, 2,000 years? Show them what biblical masculinity really looks like. Play the Man is a resource that's going to do exactly that. It's going to point men to Jesus Christ. You can order free cards right now. Yes, I said free at fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. This fall, your campus becomes your mission field. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Krotz helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Question: what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? I think we've all stood in that gap sometimes. Our theology, rock solid. Our hearts, they're still learning how to play catch up. And Dr. John Krotz, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it. He's the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and of course, the host of the Integrated podcast at Fortis Plus, and he's discovered 5 powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving Him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Krotz shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Here's what Dr. Krotz has learned and what he's going to show you in his Fortis Forum. God uses everything, even our suffering, to move His truth from our heads to our hearts. If you're ready to turn doctrine into devotion, your heart's waiting, and so is this Fortis Forum hosted by Dr. John Krotz. It's called Head to Heart, and it's available now on Fortis Plus.
Revelation. Is the Bible really God's word, or is it just a collection of human ideas? Here are a few words the Bible uses to describe itself. Perfect, God-breathed, authoritative, without error, the word of the living God. The Bible is God's inspired and trustworthy word to humanity, through which He makes Himself known and continues to draw us to Himself. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Salute! This is Wretched Radio. Well done, Beach Haven Church of Athens. That would be in Georgia, not in Greece. Although there is one in Greece, if you want to be technical and nitpicky, which we do because we're conservative evangelicals. The point is there's a church located in Athens, Georgia called Beach Haven Church, which I hope starts a trend. It's a Southern Baptist church, and it appears that they're going back to their roots of being soul winners. And so they've come up with a challenge for their members to initiate 10,000 gospel conversations to usher in a culture of evangelism. Now, that is something I think every church should consider doing. No, you don't want your church to be known just for one thing, unless that one thing, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if a church becomes that church doing that thing, the people who don't like to do that thing or don't feel gifted to do that thing will feel excluded. And that happens pretty regularly in churches. These are all good things, by the way. But a church can become, oh, we're the adoption church. We're the pro-life church. We're the food pantry church. Sometimes it can be a biblical counseling church, which, by the way, Alpharetta Bible Church is a biblical counseling church. And guess what? Speaking of Alpharetta Bible Church and biblical counseling, people were prophets when they said, get ready, because when you open the doors and you announce to your community that you have biblical counseling, you're going to be booked up fast. Yeah, that's happening already. And we have, I believe, 5 counselors, and they're getting booked up because people, they want the Bible applied to their situation. They want, it ain't working. The secular stuff ain't working. And so we discovered, as so many people said, get ready, you will soon have a waiting list. We're not there yet, but we're getting close. And if you're interested in your church having biblical counseling, which is something in the years ahead we are going to endeavor to try to help churches do, how do you go about it? How do you cultivate a culture of care? Well, it takes a lot of things to do that. But having said that, you don't want that to be the only thing that your church is known for, where it's the perpetual emphasis on that. I think because it'll make other ministries sort of feel like, oh, I guess we're just in the back seat here. Everything is about fill in the blank. All they ever talk about is fill in the blank. Having said that, you still want to be emphasizing good things. And I think that we just need to watch our balance as we go about the business of creating a culture of evangelism. It's not the only authorized activity of the church. If a local church is doing any of those aforementioned things, those are good things, and they need to keep happening. We don't exclude one because we're all hot on the other one. That's to impose my thing on your thing and override your thing because my thing has become the church culture thing. So let's emphasize evangelism without it excluding other ministries. But right now, I don't think we're in danger of that, are we? I don't think most churches are really promoting evangelism. And that's why to this church in Georgia, I say salute, because they're making an effort to activate their people to start talking about Jesus. And from my experience, I don't think there's ever been an easier time to do that. That's why we're going to campuses in the fall. That's why we're going to do bigger events on campuses, because when we're going to find out, I think that the kids are going to come because they want to, not because they think that they're going to see a showdown and a fight, or I'm going to get that conservative speaker guy and show him who I've studied sociology. And then it gets filmed and put up on video where the student gets slammed by a speaker. And we don't want to even come close to that sort of tone. We want to present a tone that says, hey, you're trying to sort it? We'd love to talk to you and help you. We think that we've got something really good for you. Would you come and give us a listen? And I think that they will come. Time will tell, of course. Now, whether or not you want to initiate a 10,000 gospel conversation sort of crusade, can we use the word crusade in any context anymore? Nevertheless, might I encourage you to follow Athens and not to be a religious people with multiple gods, but to follow Athens, this church in Georgia. What could you be doing in your church to encourage people regularly? You really need to be keeping your eye on the Great Commission. What can you do to share the faith? What can you do to propagate the gospel? Are we doing things in our church that encourage that? We've got a team at our church. They go out every Saturday to the farmer's market in Alpharetta, Georgia, and they're evangelizing. And one of the things that that little team does, it reminds everybody. So when, if we're in Bible study and they bring up, hey, could we be praying for this guy that I witnessed to at the farmer's market? Guess what it's doing? It's encouraging a culture of evangelism. Not as the only culture, but as a part of the culture. Is your church focusing on evangelism? Southern Baptist, which this Athens church is, they used to be soul winners. Now we're doing just so much sheep swapping. They're just people who are just moving the furniture around the deck. We need to be going and making disciples. So salute to Athens. Some potential good news, if you're a Christian. According to Gallup, after 3 years of stagnation, it looks like people don't hate the church as much as they used to. I think this is another one of those signs of the times that says, I think people are more receptive. I think people are more open to hearing about Christianity. This is from Gallup. 36% of Americans, this is up 3 points. Okay, it's not great, but it's at least moving in the right direction, say they have a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in the church. If you go back to 1973, it was 66%, where about half of what it used to be. Okay, not great, but it appears we hit the bottom and now we're bouncing back up. And I think that's reflective of the trend that people are like, okay, we're interested in Christianity, but the Christianity that they are interested in is not a worldly Christianity, because they can get the world delivered better from the world. They don't need us to ape the world. They want something different. They want something robust. There was an article that I read in the Christian Post. Former Queen's chaplain. So apparently during Queen Elizabeth's reign, this guy was the chaplain. Thanks for explaining that, Todd. He laments apostasy in Anglicanism, stating there's nothing at the center. And that's why it's collapsing. People know it. They get it. They see it. They see those glorious buildings being turned into condos. They see discos happening inside of their lovely cathedrals. They see the, well, I was reading another article, somebody claiming just there's perhaps a lack of consistent morality amongst the clergy in Anglicanism in Great Britain. And people see it and they know it. And they know that they're jettisoning their values and that they're changing and they're compromised. They know it. It's fascinating because the world screams to the church, compromise. For instance, pick sexuality, pick women's issues. And then as soon as the church capitulates, what do? They think that that church is worthless because they've given up their traditional values. So my point, I guess, is don't give up on them values. Don't lose the center. Don't be a silly church. This is from this particular fellow. It will become hollowed out with nothing at the center, wrote the chaplain, because they have £6 billion investments and our buildings. They'll keep a show going in the more dramatic places. Now, this guy's since become a Roman Catholic. That's not the point. Which is why he became a Roman Catholic, because apparently he thinks that they haven't been hollowed out at the center. But he's recognized that the people at these church, at the Anglican churches are leaving because there's no Anglican church. Another article that I think encourages us to stay conservative and, dare I say, liturgical. Church discipline no longer practiced in most Protestant churches. We've jettisoned that because we think it's mean. I think the world sees that and goes, wait, you do what? Do you remember I just made the comment moments ago about the kids at St. Jude's Hospital in Memphis? What was the big lament that these kids had besides the health issues and being able to play and being with their friends? They lamented that mom and dad never disciplined them because they knew that discipline meant mom and dad care. Ditto the church. If we don't do church discipline, you know what it says to our members and to the world? We don't really care. We aren't that serious. These issues are not a big deal to us. And guess what? The world says, got it, not interested. And they go and find a church where discipline is being practiced, where the core, the center isn't hollowed out, where they hold on to their traditions, not in a dead sort of way, but they sing old stuff They quote dead guys from centuries earlier. They talk about councils that took place 1,000 years ago. And that is what people are being attracted to these days, because they've had enough of the world. It is time for us to put a stake in the heart of the seeker-sensitive movement. The statistics are in. It has been an utter failure. Be a conservative. Liturgical, traditional, high-minded church that disciplines. And guess what? You're going to grow. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.